I'm setting my watch for 50 minutes. What I want to speak on is something I could talk for maybe a couple hours. One of my favorite subjects. Probably the favorite subject of many of you. And I won't finish it. I've got enough here. We could do 2 hours, I'm sure. But we won't go that long. I do have a question. Now, of course, I have a statement. We all know glory. Something's really glorious. Sun coming up. The greatest glory has to be for God, right? He has great glory. Now, here's a question for you. Some of you may know the answer to this. Does man have any glory? Does man have glory? Nick's nodding his head. What does man have that is glorious? His muscles? Any suggestions? God's spirit? Actually, the Bible says something of what, actually, God's spirit is glorious. But there are men who don't have God's spirit who have glory. The Bible tells what it is. Are you about to say something? No? Faith? Not everybody has faith. The spirit in man, the Bible says. Now I'll give you a hint. What is the glory of a woman? Her hair. Her hair. That's right. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 15. You can turn there if you want. You don't have to. I'll read it. But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Now, that's an interesting thing. A woman's hair is her glory, if she has long hair. By the way, it makes me think of the locust in the book of Revelation. And it came out, this army of locusts. And it said that they had hair like women's hair. That's the fifth trump. They have hair like women's hair. Now, did they do a DNA test? I don't think so. Why? What would they have noticed that these locusts had that looked like women's hair, not just hair, but women's hair? Well, it would have been long. They would have seen these locusts having long hair, because it looked like women's hair. I don't have a lot of hair right here. But now there is something that is man's glory. I gave you a hint by going to the women's glory. What's man's glory? Nobody? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7 tells what the glory of man is. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. Isn't that interesting? Did any of you think of that and you just didn't say it? Yep. Okay. Your wife thought of it. She knew who was the glory. She knew where your glory was. Right there. I'm in total agreement with that. She is so much more glorious than you. You agree with that, don't you? Absolutely. Now, how is a woman man's glory? We could discuss that for a few hours as to how she is. And I don't have the time to go through the scriptures I want to go through and discuss how a woman is man's glory. I want to turn instead, you don't have to turn here, you don't have to turn to any of these if you want. We're going to finish at least in 50 minutes because that's what the home office now wants. But I'm going to read Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. What does it say? Genesis 2 and verse 18. I'll give you a moment. Some of you are turning. And the Lord God's, by the way, I want to thank you for the card that I got. And I am doing better. However, there are a couple of things that make me start to cough. Now, I've had this for 18 days. I'm not contagious. I didn't have a fever. Wasn't the flu, wasn't COVID, I even tested. So I'm not contagious. But eating or talking. So after a while, I'll begin hacking and I'll take a cough drop. And that'll do a little bit and then I'll start hacking and I'll get another cough drop. We'll see. But it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good. What's not good? That man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, I really prefer the easy-to-read version. The easy-to-read version of this. It says, then the Lord God said, I see that it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make the companion he needs. One just right for him. Let me read that again. I will make the companion he needs. One just right for him. That is so good. That is so good. And you wonder why this is up here. Does anybody have a guess why this is up here? An offering? Yes. Thank you. We would like for you to lead the crowd coming up and dropping your offering in here. Well, we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, in a house, most place in a house, people put things that are beautiful in a place of honor. Like up on a mantle. Or in a cabinet with glass. Do you have a place in your house where you put beautiful things? Now, in that place of honor, would you put this, this is actually very useful. It's for a crock pot. There aren't many crock pots that people put in the china cabinet or up on the mantle. But this, Perhaps so. Now, let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Notice that he didn't say the inferior vessel. It said the weaker vessel. However, I like some other translations better than that. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, the word there just means not strong. I like the International Standard Version and the Good News Bible, which have both translated it as the delicate vessel. Now, this is definitely the weaker vessel. But it says you give honor. It isn't an inferior vessel. It is a delicate vessel. Ladies do tend to be more tender. Not all ladies. These are generalities. Some ladies, like, are taller. Brittany Griner, you know, I don't think I would go up against her. How tall is she? Anybody happen to know? 6'8". And very athletic. So I like that. Sometimes something that's weak is much more valuable. Even as it says, speaking of Christ crucified, it says the weakness of God is stronger than men. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. But I think this really shows a difference right here. Now, as one lady who happens to be a scientist said, it's nice to have a man around the house when you need the couch moved. So, other than that, I don't know. I'm not putting men down. I'm just saying that God did make the perfect companion. And I realize some of you are not married, or you're widowed or widower. I've been there. I was married 53 years, nearly 54. Lucretia died, and I went for over a year. But it's much more fun to be married to somebody. Now, you got to be careful who you marry. You could end up with Cruella de Vil. You could end up with Delilah. You know, she was obviously good looking. But she didn't love him. I mean, what's the most important thing when you're considering a mate? I knew. God's Spirit. God's Spirit. I mean, before I married Lucretia, we'd go out into the... I'd take her out and sit in the gardens at Ambassador College with her. Of course, I talked to a lot of girls, but I just asked questions and see what she would say about Scripture. What was most important to her? I was that concerned about the same thing when I married Sweet Charlotte. By the way, that is Sweet Charlotte. It's not someone different from Renee. Her name is Charlotte Renee. And Now, you know, there are a lot of widows in the church. And a lot of them are lonely. It's really a lot easier for a widower to find somebody to marry in the church than for a widow. I realize that. And there I was at the feast. Lots of single women. There are single women all over. Nice women, nothing against them. But I noticed something special about Renee. Now, the first thing I noticed about her, she came up to thank me for a sermon. It was Sabbath before the feast. And she came up and she had such a sweet smile. You've noticed that, haven't you? She had such a sweet smile. She thanked me for a sermon. I didn't think that much about it. You know, somebody coming up and thanking me for a sermon. But I also noticed, as the days went on, her interest in the Bible. And I was with her, and there was a man whose wife had just died. She was near death for a long time. And her son, this man's sons were at the feast, and they found out, well, Mom finally passed. They were expecting it for months. And they went and got Dad. I mentioned it to Renee. That man, his sons just brought him here. His wife just died 2 days ago. She instantly had to go over there to meet him, comfort him. And then I sat with him. And she'd asked if she could come sit with us, to sit with him also. But my main concern was God first in her life. So anyway, Solomon had trouble finding a good woman. He had 1,000 women. Now, I want to read, this is from the International Standard Version of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 28. He talks about, he says, among the things I seek, he doesn't tell what he's really seeking, you have to sort of guess. Among the things I seek, but have not found. He didn't say what he was looking for in a person. You have to read between the lines. One man among 1,000 I did find. Now, the International Standard Version is assuming he's looking for someone with wisdom. Maybe I better put this back in here so I don't knock it off. Man's job is to protect his wife anyway. So she's safe in here. One man. I among 1,000 I did find. But I have not found one woman to be wise among all these. He was married to 1,000 women. Among 1,000 men he found. They assumed wisdom. But whatever he was looking for, he found one among 1,000 men. But among 1,000 women, and he had 1,000, he didn't find one. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong with all those women? He couldn't find even one. And maybe it was not one of his wives was wise. Well, yeah, you're going to marry to a guy who's got dozens, then hundreds of wives? That doesn't sound very wise to marry him. Yeah, you'll have money. You'll have a nice place to live, good food, That's it. Then you die. However, he figured out. Solomon figured out what was wrong. He didn't have a single companion. Not one of those wives was a companion. Not one. It says, and you know this, you don't have to turn to it, 1 Kings 11:3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So they weren't very good for him. They were actually a negative. They were actually a negative. They weren't good for him. But do you know what he said also in Ecclesiastes, where he says, among 1,000 women, I can't find one? You know what else he said there? It's in Ecclesiastes 9:9. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. He didn't mean it in a bad way. He just meant it's not going to last. It's not going to last. And you have 1,000 women. After a while, you get old. Could he even remember all their names? Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, your short life. He says, for that is your portion in life. Wait, what's your portion in life? This guy who had 1,000 women, and he says, what is your portion in life? To live joyfully with the wife whom you love. The wife. Not wives. Live joyfully with the wife. I mean, now he's figuring something out in his old age. He saw men out there happily married, hugging their wives, holding their hands, having the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids. And he didn't have any of that. I mean, he had wives and he had kids and he had great-grandkids. Or grandkids, maybe. Don't know if he had great ones, great grandkids. Could he even keep up with all those names? But none of them were his companions. For that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. The Holman Christian Standard Version says, enjoy life with the wife you love. Oh, Solomon, you figured it out, didn't you? When you saw others having a good time with their wives and a companion, he didn't have any. Well, he said one man among 1,000. So he may have had a man who was kind of a companion. Not the same. Anyway, Holman Christian Standard says, enjoy life with the wife you love all the days of your fleeting life. See, not bad, it's just vain. It's just fleeting. It's going to be gone. Which has been given to you under the sun all your fleeting days. And here's what an amazing statement of having, and I don't make, if you're not married, don't mean to make you feel bad, but it says, that is your portion in life. Wow. God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a companion for him. I want to read just a few Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Now you men will like this one. You men will like this. And this is strange. This is strange. God made men to be strange. There's something really strange about them. Totally different from any other creature on earth. Proverbs 5 verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Now, Renee is not the wife of my youth, but I did rejoice with the wife of my youth for nearly 54 years, and now I'm rejoicing with the wife of my old age. And she's wonderful. And she's not jealous of Lucretia. So, that's a good, I've known men who told me they could not even mention their first wife's name. But Renee and Lucretia will get along. In fact, they'll probably spend a few years commiserating, you poor thing. He told that joke about you too? Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe. And here's the part the men will like. You're reading it. You've already read it, haven't you? This is why men are strange. And God did it to us. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. Now, breasts are mammary glands and they're made to produce this perfect food for babies. And so all mammals, the females produce milk. Even porpoises and whales in the ocean. And it's just amazing that God could have them under all that water and be able to drink milk. But there is no other mammal than a human male that gets excited with the mammary glands. No bull says, look at those udders. Ah. Now God could have done that, but he didn't. He had to have the male and female be attracted to each other. And what he did for most mammals, not whales, is pheromones. You're familiar with pheromones? Pheromone means a hormone that travels in the air. So it's amazing. You can be out in a field, or you could have horses and cows and sheep all out there. And when the female comes into heat, she puts off a scent. Now, if it's a sheep, there can be bulls and stallions, and they pay no attention to it. Or a male dog. Only the ram will be attracted by that pheromone. And that's true. I mean, those pheromones can be all over. If it's a cow putting it off, Only bulls are going to be attracted to that. That pheromone is so specific that only the male of that species is attracted by it. That's amazing. Ladies, aren't you thankful that God didn't have your husband attracted by pheromones? Because everywhere you would go, men would be saying, "She's in heat." Now, you're finding that hilarious, and you're saying, "Do we have to discuss this?" God decided to have men attracted visually. And one of the things one of his jokes, the humor, is that the breasts that were created to feed babies, he said, "I'm going to have the men attracted and find that attractive and desirable." I would have never thought of that. They're wonderful things. I've seen babies. You know, in Africa, there are many areas I've been that women don't cover their breast. The Zulus used to not, women. You go down the road and there's a truck of women who are going to work, and they're all topless. And nobody thinks anything of it, but I mean, the men out there do find them attractive. But they're just so used to it because they're out. But I've watched little babies, nurse. Is there anything more beautiful than watching a baby nurse? A mother holding her new baby. And the baby starts. Lucretia, back when we used to have births at home. And this lady in the church, it's in Little Rock area. And she wanted Lucretia and I to come help with the birth. We said, "No, we can't do that. You need to get, you know, a midwife." "No, I'm not going to do that." So we went over there. And this little baby is born. And I can remember, she put the little baby up to her breast. And I can remember her joy when she said, "Oh, Gene," that's her husband, "Gene, she's nursing," just very quickly. It just is beautiful. It's beautiful. But God did that. God made the wife the perfect complement, just as he said when he said, "I'm going to make the perfect complement for Adam." Perfect. And then, is that enough on the breast? Is that enough discussion? I didn't write Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 19. I want you to know I'm just amazed that God did this. Proverbs 18, verse 22. "He who finds a wife," now if you got to find a good wife, you got to be careful. If you're just going by the size of her breast, if you're going by her nice, shapely rear end, you may be very unhappy. But if you go for her sweetness, her gentleness, her conversion, her love for God, then Proverbs 18 verse 22 fits. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." Now you can mess up a good thing by mistreating her. wives really do reflect how they're treated. Now I realize there could be that is a generalization. Some beautiful women are just not going to be sweet. But you can know that before you marry them. It's just so difficult when she looks so sweet. And she looks so good. And if you choose a wife based 90% on how good she looks, you can be in, you're just taking a chance. But otherwise, if you find a wife, you find a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You need God's help. Proverbs 19 verse 14 shows that God can help. Now I realize I'm not talking to a room filled with young, unmarried men. There are a few here. But my point is that a wife, God made a wife the perfect complement. What a wonderful gift. Proverbs 19 verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. I love the easy to read version. People receive houses and money from their parents. Well, some parents. But a good wife is a gift from the Lord. I fasted and prayed before I asked Renee to marry me. I fasted and prayed before I do a lot of things, and prayed and prayed before I asked Lucretia to marry me. You know, my daughter-in-law, Mandy, gave a wonderful compliment. She calls me Papa, because that's what she gave me, my first grandchild. And she named me Papa, because in her family, granddad is called Papa. So I'm called Papa by most of my family. And she said, Papa, you've won the lottery twice. There's my present from the lottery, second time, right back over there. That's a gift from God. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Proverbs 31, verse 10. God made men and women different emotionally. Women are the perfect mothers. They're more empathetic. They're more sympathetic. Now, that's a generalization. I mean, most women are shorter than men, but that's a generalization, isn't it? And so when I say women tend to be more empathetic, more tender-hearted, there are times when in emergencies, men will usually just get out and deal with it and then fall apart after it's over. And they have found that women, some women are really good in emergencies, but some of them are not, because if they come across something that they can't emotionally reject, I mean, there's a wreck out there and there's blood and things like that, and they're just, some women are just so tender-hearted, and some men too, that they just, it's hard for them to emotionally cut that off and just do what they need to do as easily as men. But women are so much more tender-hearted and empathetic. Anyway, it says here, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And here is another version, the contemporary English version. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. I'll read that again. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Well, my cough is beginning to say it's about time to finish this up. But I wouldn't mind having a discussion sometime on how God made men and women different emotionally and the advantages of having someone who's truly some. I mean, you know what's the most wonderful thing that God has ever created? Anybody remember, have ever heard me say, what's the most wonderful thing God has ever created? What did I say? Babies, babies. Yes. Do you remember what I said is the second most wonderful thing God ever created? Mothers. Boy, did I learn that when my baby was born. First of all, that was the most wonderful creature that I had ever met was David. I mean, this tiny, helpless thing. And night after night after night, this lady would hear, we were living in Idaho, we didn't have any money, the house was kept really cold except for the bathroom. So we put we didn't even have a crib. Couldn't even afford a crib. We just had a little car bed. Car bed, they don't make them anymore. It was just a little metal frame with fabric. And somebody gave that to us. And Idaho can be cold. But we kept the bathroom warm. That little boy could put up a few squeaks and she'd be up in there and changing him and nursing him. I slept right through it. But I mean, you never, ever worried about David because there was someone there who was ready to sacrifice her life for that little boy. And my mother was that way for me. And your mother was that way for you. Now, that's a generalization. There are some bad mothers, but that's pretty rare. There are more bad fathers than bad mothers. Am I wrong? I don't think so. When your father forsakes you, generally your mother's there. She's not going to leave her children. They're wonderful. Thank you, Father. In the United Church of God wedding ceremony, near the beginning, it says this. So if you hear a wedding, you'll hear this in the United Church of God. Surely, there can be no greater human joy than to have a happy marriage, filled with giving and sharing. Now, I agree. Unsaid is one of the worst things you can ever have is an unhappy marriage. But half of that may be, you know. That it takes two to have a terrible, miserable marriage, I think. But that's a generalization. Some men just absolutely ruin their marriage, and some women do. Let me start over. I interrupted here. Let me just read this. Surely there can be no greater human joy than to have a happy marriage, filled with giving and sharing. There is no deeper relationship among human beings than that achieved by a husband and wife in marriage. And that's 46 minutes. The Home Office should be proud of me.